what one of the things, it's a man, a mixture of man and God. It means rebellion, amen. It means confusion. And so we have this place where the Tower of Babel. And so the thing is, of man's wisdom, they could build this antiquated skyscrapers, tall as they could get it, and say, in a way of saying, hey, this time if it rains, we're going to be safe. And so there's always some Jewish tradition and history to how tall this Tower of Babel was, and some have said it was over a mile tall. I don't know. And the Nimrod was the first person to create an empire in the world. And so everything, the first empire at the Tower of Babel, and it's interesting, I don't know how much I'll get into it today, but we will, but ancient Babylon was located in the same area, in the same area of the Tower of Babel. And then you go to Revelation 17 and 18, and it talks about Babylon the Great. It says the mother of prostitutes. And so it's this thing where we have this, you have Babel in the Old Testament twice and then the New Testament. So it's the spirit and this mindset. And anywhere where there's a spirit of mindset where man tries to be God himself, we don't need God. We've got all the wisdom and strength and ability ourselves. It always leads to confusion. Confusion, I mentioned, like confusion, like what bathroom do I use? And I'm not making light of that. But there was a time where that type of confusion didn't exist. So this is what this spirit in the world, the spirit of Babylon, that releases every wicked imaginable thing against God. It doesn't bring a utopia, man looking for utopia. It does the exact opposite. It brings confusion. And for you and I, and for the body of Christ, and for people coming into the kingdom, what is the thing? We want people to come out of confusion. Amen. And to come out of confusion, we got to realize there is a difference between right or wrong. If anything's happened in the last couple election cycles, is there's a big chasm between what is right and wrong. You can't choose anymore. There's definitely a right and a wrong. How God loves you and I. But the success of our children, I realize in this world, is by the Spirit of God knowing the difference between right or wrong. Train up a child in the way they should go. When they grow older, they will not depart. How is it? What's that training? That training is knowing what's right and wrong. And a right or wrong is determined by the Bible. See, the thing I want to talk about this morning is, and we'll talk about it, the grace of God doesn't mean there's no right or wrong. No, it gives you the ability by the Spirit of God to know the difference. The difference. Amen? So when you have where man stands up and says, hey, we don't need God anymore. I'm telling you, eventually, like we see today in certain pockets of society, rampant confusion. Would you agree with that? And so Babylon, this slide one, Babel, rebellion in a small area of the earth at that time. And then a bigger area of ancient Babylon, world's first empire or superpower. And so that Babylon, with Nebuchadnezzar, that was like the first recorded superpower. And they had control over pretty much all the known earth at that time, or the world at that time. And then modern Babylon, some people think this could be Iran or Iraq. I don't want to get lost in the weeds here, so please, if you say, yeah, well, I know what Babylon means or who it is, so that's great. But what I'm talking about this spirit of evil released that's attached to this mindset that the wisdom of man somehow can save themselves. God won't allow that. Confusion is released so that you can stand back and say, you know what? It's pretty easy to see the difference between right and wrong. Hallelujah. So some people think this modern Babylon, Iran or Iraq, some people think it's a Catholic Church. Some people think it's the United States. Some people think it's just this entire world system. But I know what it releases and what it does, and we'll see that. I won't get too much into the old Babylonian system with Nebuchadnezzar until next week. But if I had to put a title on today's message, it would be Contend for Your Faith. You know, why is it so important to have a biblical worldview? You know, Satan always has counterfeits. You know that for the things of God, does he not? We have to see them. If we got the Bible, what are the counterfeits? We got the Quran, the Book of Mormon, the New World Translation with the JWs. These are things that are not the true word of God. There's things that have been changed in them, and it's always about diminishing the deity of Jesus Christ, because I can tell you, Jesus Christ is God. Amen. Amen. Many have this false narrative, a separation of church and state. You know what I mean? Let me just go there real quick. This fall, and many of them, unfortunately, have been believers. And so what happens then is there becomes this gray, there starts to become this gray area between what is right and wrong. You know, I've heard people say that, well, maybe they're, you know, when they took the Bibles out at that time, they needed to do that to have that separation. Are you kidding me? That is the only way, the only truth. That's God's love, the Bible. If that, we would just think if the narrative was the Bible still in the schools and an understanding of Christ and salvation, we would not be anywhere near where we are. Amen. Amen and amen. So many have this false narrative of separation of church and state. Don't talk about God, the Bible, what is wrong or right biblically in the House or the Senate or the executive branch. I just saw where a Presbyterian, this lady, a Presbyterian pastor, was it in the Arizona Senate House, taking Bibles, did you see this, and hiding them? No lie, I'm not making that up. This Presbyterian, and so they had in the break room where the, and I don't know where the, you know, where the House Senate meets. I'm talking, well, I mean for the Senate, state, we're talking about the state branches. We're finding these Bibles disappearing. And so someone put up a camera in the break rooms, and this gal, who's a Presbyterian pastor, who is a state senator, was taking them and hiding them. See, that's that mindset of we got to have a separation between what? Church and state. Instead of saying, hey, this is what is truth. This is what will make this state blessed. This is what will bless this nation. This is what will bless my family, my community. It's this warped thing that's wrong. It says, no, we got to hide that. Maybe to where it's like, okay, if you want to read that at home, that's fine, but don't bring it out here. And that's when the truth begins to dissolve. That's when those lines between right and wrong begin to be blurred. You know, in talking to a person, let me see, this is how this can work. And in talking to a person I know very well, not somebody here who goes here, but somebody I care for very much, and they were having these struggles within their life, and I would pray with that person. I love that person, and I'm there for that person, but after these conversations, as I began to press them on, what do you believe about the Word of God? What do you believe about God's Word? And so finally it comes out, it's like, I don't believe, my beliefs aren't that I'm going to live my life by the Word of God. I'll take some things and I understand these things and that I can apply to my life. I can say all the things that God blesses my life and he's with me and he's for me and all these different things, but I've got some blurred lines is what it was, Chad, between right and wrong. And I started to realize because of these blurred lines, these struggles that seem to be persistent in their lives or lodged and come through untruths, penetrating, being a part of, actually living in their soul realm. And so the results are these bondages that bring sorrow and pain, and the loneliness remains for that person. See, it was a thing where finally at the point of pressing and talking, the truth came out, this is that the Word of God offends me. Does the Word of God offend you, saints? But his truth remains. You know, God loves you with a love that cannot be expressed in words. Did you know that? It can't. His love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh man, his love for you and I. We can't fathom it. It's deeper, it's taller, it's wider than anything we could imagine. I love that song. I just remember like lines of songs, and you know that one. It says, I'll never know just how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know what it cost. Heaven. I'll always see the scars. We'll see his scars on his hands and his feet when we stand before him. But that kind of love, if we understood that love, I'm telling you, the word of God would not offend us. But sometimes in areas of people's lives, they say, no, I want to remain in darkness here. Now, but you know, people standing before God and give an account, that's not my job. That they have to stand before God. I'm responsible for me and my family, and I'm responsible for what I stay right here. So I want to make sure, Lord, I want to say what you want me to say in love. But man, I want to speak the truth in love. I don't want to live in blurred lines. Man, I want everything that would be crooked at all, Lord, that he could, by his love, straighten that out and see things in an area of my life, see things in my own character, my family, be straightened out that I could not see before, and that only happens by the grace and the love of God. I love the Romans road of salvation. Matter of fact, I'm going to stop here. I just want to make sure you understand my heart is for everybody to know him. Do you know that Romans road of salvation? Can I read some of those? So, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's not part of it, but he died for us that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So I love that scripture. I want to take a minute. What must I do to be saved? The Romans road. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody's born needing a Savior. Those little cute babies are born needing a Savior. Everybody needs born. It doesn't seem fair, but we can thank Adam, but everybody born in sin. Everybody born opposed to a perfect and holy God. How can we come into his presence when there's this impurity of sin in our life, amen? And so we're born that way, and people will grow up and try to do as many good things and good deeds as they can and try to weigh the scales. I mean, I've talked about this before, but you cannot get the scales balanced on your own effort, amen? Because another scripture that's in Romans 2 is this, is that all my righteousness is as filthy rags. Romans 6:23, the next one says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift, can you say gift? Man, thank you, Lord, for the gift. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I've come to learn that when I receive this gift, that his gift of giving to me just keeps giving, keeps revealing his goodness. And so I realize this too, and give me a second to explain that. When I gave my life, the Lord just started taking from me. People go like, yeah, he started taking my sin, my shame, my fear. Man, he took so many things from me, everything opposed to him. He started bringing comfort to my heart and my soul. I'm telling you, I gave him all my sin, my shame, my fear. He took it from me. I gave him my heart, and then he gives me his Holy Spirit. And he gives me blessing after blessing after blessing. And he loves me so much because I'm his child. He says, let me show you some things here that'll help you along the way. Let me train you up in the way you should go. See, if God said that train up a child in the way they should go, isn't it that when we're his child, he's the one that set that in place, those laws of nature, that he will train me if I allow him in his love, in his mercy, in his kindness. He'll reveal himself to me. That's good stuff, isn't it? Amen. Then Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While I was still a rascal. while I certainly did not deserve it. Matter of fact, before the foundations of the earth, God knew that we'd be sitting right here. He knew every detail of our lives, knowing that he shed that his blood for us, gave himself as a sacrifice with all of us on his mind. So while we were opposed to him, he died. Why those that were at the foot of the cross were mocking him, all mocking him, it was also that you and I can stand here and say, man, thank you for that free gift. And when you realize that free gift, how valuable it is, you can't help but say, Lord, everything I have belongs to you. And that while we're yet sinners, Christ died. If it's Romans 10:13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. I've come to realize that not only saved from a fiery hell, but I've called out to him many, many times since then, and he saved me from all kinds of situations. Whoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. That's good stuff right there. While the world lives in darkness, why the world lives in destruction, why they live in complete confusion, here you and I are exposed, walking in his light, walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, cleanses us from every sin. Hallelujah. Amen. So whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love this. Romans 10:9-10. I mean, I know I'm preaching to the choir. I'm just reminding you how good and how awesome this salvation we have is. Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, exchanging my filth and my sin for the righteousness that was paid for me on the cross of Calvary. Amen? And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Wow. I believe he's God. I believe he's Lord. And see, believing unto with my heart means, Lord, I'm forsaking all other gods that I would think can bring me salvation. Because, Jesus, you know, he's the only way. He's the only truth. There's no other room in your heart for anybody but the one true God who made you. He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can deliver you. He's the only one that can fill your heart with inexpressible joy and love. Forsaking all others that we thought gods or purposes that were wicked or evil that we think this will bring satisfaction. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. And let me just say this. The things that I discussed last week and I'm discussing this week, it's all about the heart of man. The heart. Right? I love 2 Corinthians 3. Let me keep continuing. You guys still out there? 2 Corinthians 3:3-4. Paul says, revealing yourself that you are a letter of Christ in writing to the Corinthians. That you are a letter to Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Man, on tablets of human hearts. You can look at that stone and see all those, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit, you can see all those, thou shalt not. But we never understand really the heart of God in those things. We don't understand the heart of God because it's just letters. It brings death. It can't bring life. We can't even know really what they mean, to be honest. Such is the confidence, verse 4, we have toward God through Jesus Christ. You have confidence in him this morning? Not that we are adequate in ourselves. You hear that, saints? Not that we are adequate in ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. Man, did you hear that? My adequacy comes from him. My confidence is in him. My victory is in him. Coming out of those times where I feel like I failed is putting my trust and confidence in him. Adequate in ourselves so as to consider anything as having come from ourselves. Nothing's come from ourselves. Amen. But our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant. not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. You can't read laws and different things in the Word of God and say, okay, if I could just do this. No, your flesh says, good luck. Good luck. Romans 8 says, your flesh can't please God. You can't in your own flesh and ability keep commandments. It goes back to standing before him and said, hey, how did I do? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. You know, but it's an example, but it's a thing of the heart. Let me just go on a little bit. I'm going to keep going. Hang in there with me. Okay, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. And then I go to Ephesians 6, and Paul throws a little twist in there. And he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may turn out well for you and that you may live long on the earth. I'm like, well, then, okay. The letter brings death. And then here we go. We go to Ephesians, and you bring up a commandment. What's going on here, Lord? You know, there's that letter of the law again. The Apostle Paul wrote that, did he not? So, you know, I thought this is what I'm going to say. I want to explain it this way and a few other things. I thought I knew what that meant, meaning honor your, and I've told this story, but I want to use it real quick again. I thought I knew what honoring my parents meant. But, you know, but I didn't. And I was around my pastor here, who his father was, he's a great man of God, but he was sick and he was acting very difficult. And I saw how Pastor Lee responded to him with honor, with grace. See, I saw what it said in the law, thou shalt honor. But when I saw the spirit of it, the heart of it, I said, what? It opened up a whole new world. My eyes were opened. I really knew what honoring was by the Spirit. I saw the grace of God, someone honoring their parent in a difficult situation. See, I read the letter, but there was no revelation there. Honor, okay, honor them, but I realized I honored it when I felt like I was getting honored. I felt like I was honoring them when it was convenient, without realizing it. But when I saw the grace of honoring your parents displayed in front of me, my eyes were open to what it means to honor your mother and your father. And I took that, and that became mine, and it's mine to this very day, because the Spirit of grace showed me what this honor your mother and father meant. See, the grace of God takes the word. There's always a heart behind it. God's heart behind it. Let me continue. And then there's more to it. And so you could take an example. So when I see thou shalt not covet in the commandments, it's not a statement that because of that grace doesn't apply to me in that area. I mean, does that mean I can just covet all I want? But through grace, this is what I'd learned. Something like thou shalt not covet, wanting other people's stuff, right? And so when you just see the letter of the law, you just say, I'm not going to covet. I'm just going to do my best. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my portion, Lord. Thank you for my portion. Where's my portion, Lord? I would not covet if you would give me my portion. But this is what grace, the grace of God, behind something like, thou shalt not covet. This is what I broke down. Don't covet, son or daughter, because I am your source. Look to me, son or daughter, to be your satisfaction in this life. You don't have to covet what others have. I want to bless your life. I have everything you need in this life. Look to me, son or daughter. So from the Spirit, you can say, I'm going to trust you, Lord. You're going to take care of me. See, the thing is, as you see these rules and regulation, but it says that there's going to be those that are going to worship him in spirit and truth. And what the Spirit of God says behind a law that you see there, let me show you what I really mean. Put your trust in me. The grace of God said, put your trust in me. Let me show you what it means. Let me write that thou shalt not covet on your heart. Let me show you what I mean by that. Let me show you my heart instead of trying to grit it out to think I will not covet. No, there's a reason for that. And that's the Spirit of God showing you. Said, I've got a portion for you. Just trust in me. You're precious in my sight. I love you. I'm a faithful God. Amen. And that goes from this thing of reading this thing going, I shall not covet. To the Spirit of God saying, man, I've got everything you need. I'm writing these laws on your heart because my Spirit is telling you what they mean. And it always has to do with who he is. We don't see who he is by the law. But the Spirit of God, through these things, he'll show you. Let me show you my heart. Like I said, it's always about the heart. His heart for you and I. He's a good, good father. He loves us. He's faithful. He's kind. He's gentle. He's always trying to get us to look and to see his purposes. He's always wanting us to show us his character. In the law, you cannot see his character because the letter does not have his spirit behind it. You don't see his heart. You just roll up your sleeves and you just try to do it on your own strength. And then Romans 7 says at that point is that every type of covetousness starts coming forward from your flesh. Then you're going, like, man, that didn't work. When I fail, saints, I'm not under the law. I have an advocate. Jesus, my sacrifice. He became a curse for me. The letter kills. Can't know the heart of God without the Spirit of God. You can't know the heart of God without the Word of God, though. And so he takes that Word and he brings it to life. Under this pretense, I already belong to him. I've already received that free gift. And if you have the Holy Spirit, it says, let me just open up the Word of God as a package of all this, all my goodness for your legacy, for you and your children and your children's children. For your community, amen? And so knowing God's grace, saints, we have to contend for it in our homes and in our society. So let's say this, contend for the faith. And so as I was reading, I started reading Jude, and I thought, man, that's exactly where we're at now. You see, let me just start with this verse 1 and 2. It says, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to those who are called, who are the called, believed in God the Father, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad he's kept you? Amen. It says, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. And I don't know about you, but when I read that, I say, thank you, Lord, I receive that. I receive your mercies, your tender mercies. Thank you for your peace and that your love is multiplied to me that I can understand your goodness. And then he goes on, he says, beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, he says, this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to have a shouting service with you guys. He says, I just wanted us to just talk about the good, good things of God, and we used to be together and just like, man, just glorify what God has done. But he said, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all time handed down to the saints. Wow. And then it goes on. He says, for certain people have crept in unnoticed, those who were long before marked out for this condemnation. That doesn't sound like any place I want to go. Ungodly persons who turn the grace of God into indecent behavior and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they don't just come out and say, I deny Jesus, because then they would be revealed. What he's saying is what they're, because of what they're preaching and teaching as far as grace, that they, if you continue on down this chapter, they're void of the Spirit of God. They teach that whatever you want to do it, just do it. Doesn't matter. Grace of God says God doesn't care. Just do what you want. There's no difference between right or wrong anymore. The lines are blurred. And so he says, they're the ones that show up in the teachers. They've been there 20 and 30 years, and we don't know what they've been teaching or what they believed until now. They've been hidden. They snuck in amongst us. In schools, in colleges, they could be in churches, anywhere where they snuck in. And then all of a sudden, this is what Jude has to say. He says, hey, look, these things are being exposed. We got to contend for the faith. He says they sneak in unnoticed. They can talk about grace. They talk about God's love, but they are void of the Spirit of God and have hidden agendas. They weren't noticed when they first joined your group or were elected to the school board or tenured to the university where you couldn't fire them no matter what they do now. But eventually what they believe spills out. Eventually it's exposed. And that's the time that we live in right now, saints. So when Jude says, man, you have to contend for the faith, what is he saying? He says, you've got to determine, by the grace of God, you've got to determine what is right or wrong. What are you going to stand up as truth? What are you going to teach your children? Now, of course, with people that don't know him, we're always, well, I'm going to get ahead. I want to get ahead of myself. And then he goes on to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah and angels that didn't stay in their place. He talked about those who were void of the Spirit of God. Aren't you glad there's nobody here like that? Amen? Amen. And then Jude goes on to encourage you and I today when he says contending for the faith, standing up for what's true and right. Do you believe that, saints? As the Spirit of God, the Spirit of grace made you bold, and what we face, saying there's definitely a line between what's right or wrong. Train up a child in the way they should go. Do you train up a child and say, just figure it out. I don't know if this is right or wrong. I'm not sure what the Word of God says. No, that's not how you train up a child. You train them up in the truth of the Word of God with the love of God. And then Jude goes on from here. He says, to encourage you and I today, he says, but you, beloved, any beloveds here, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ that they were saying to you, in the last time, there will be mockers. Amen? There'll be mockers. Following after their own ungodly lust. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you. The power of the Holy Spirit. We have the ability to discern by the Word of God what's right or wrong in today's age. And then it goes on, these are the ones who cause, it says, but you, beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith. 21, it says, keep yourself in the love of God. So how do we walk in this truth, saints, in today's world? It says, keep yourself in the love of God. Don't give up. Don't allow the enemy to convince you that somehow that there's a better way or that God's not going to meet your needs or not take care of you. Don't give up. Keep yourself in the love of God. I love that saying, keep yourself in the love of God. The love of God's love for us, his unconditional love for us, his children belonging to him. Amen? Let me continue. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. We live this life, amen? God's life's blessing and his strength in our lives here, but we're looking forward to seeing him. What it's saying, we're looking forward to the day that he's revealed and we see him face to face. Amen. And have mercy. And then it goes on, it says, look, and this is about speaking to others, telling others about Christ. Verse 22, and it says, and have mercy on some who are doubting. Be merciful. Build them up. Strengthen them. Remind them about the love of God. Remind them about God's purposes, amen, on this earth and in humankind. Remind them about his love. Amen. But it says, and others snatching them out of the fire. It's okay to tell people sometimes, let the Lord lead you, that there is an eternity. There's life or death. There's heaven or hell. See, what he's saying here is there's some that need to know about his love. Bring him in. There's others that need to be warned. Man, this life is all you have. There's nothing left. You don't get to do it again. You can't mock God. There's a payday for that stuff. Come out of that. It's knowing how, when you're speaking with people, allow the Lord to lead you what to say. To some, encourage them. Man, let me tell you about his love. To others, you can keep mocking him. Seems like there's nothing happening, but there will come a day when you will have to stand before him and give an account of your life. Saints, it's okay to say that. It's with what the heart is, God's heart. He'll lead you and guide you in how you should speak to people. Amen? And then it says, on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garments polluted by the flesh. What's that saying? Saying, man, I'm here to help you, but I'm not joining you in what you're doing. I've been set free from that. I've been delivered. I'm not going back there. God set me free. I'm not joining you. I'm not going back into what Peter calls the pig pen. Man, God brought me out of that, cleaned me up with his grace and his love and his mercy. I'm not going back. There's nothing to go back to. But let me tell you, follow me. Don't follow them. Say, you follow me. Amen and amen. Hating even the garments polluted by the flesh. And now to him who is able to protect you. I love this. And then he goes back to encouraging you and I. And now to him who is able to protect you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. So what's he saying? God wants to bless his people. He wants to promote people. He wants to heal people. He's a healer, folks. He wants to strengthen us. He wants us to experience his wonderful grace and power day by day. But for many people, they have never earnestly contended for their faith. Lord, in today's society, what is right or wrong? What pleases you and what grieves your heart? Having that kind of heart. So content today, what we see with society, we with our children, with our own lives, contending with the faith, saying, Lord Jesus, please make it alive into me what is right and wrong. What direction do you want me to go? Lord, help me to stand up for truth. Lord, help me not to be waffling between right and wrong. Lord, help me not to be, in this day and day, be ashamed of the truth. You know, God wants to bless and promote his people. He really does. And I believe that with all my heart. And today, in this economy we live in, the economy that could be coming, I believe he's going to bless his people. So let me say this. Your success and freedom as a believer has everything to do with what you believe. It really does. Let me just couple Babel. Remember, or Babel. It's a plain in Babylonia. Confusion. Includes that ancient Babylonian empire. It's a mixture of God and man. It's man's wisdom to escape God's judgment. You can't do that. And so in Babylon, we just say this with Israel, in ancient Babylon, where did Israel go wrong? This is where it starts. It always starts. This is where it started in this country, the trouble. Train up a child in the way they should go. Even when he grows old, he will not abandon it. Amen. So where do you and I start, man? It's like, Lord, I'm with your love, I'm going to stand up for the truth. So I've come to find out some people don't like it. It offends them in love. But grace doesn't mean that I have no backbone. Grace doesn't mean that I can't know what's right or wrong. That I, with his love, I can't say those things. And I've come to realize sometimes people are just going to be offended. And see, when they wouldn't train up their children in the way of the Lord, it came down to this in Jeremiah 17:23. Before they were carried off to Babylon, before they were carried off into Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, before they were carried off into confusion that we'll see more next week. Yet they did not listen or incline their ears, but stiffened their necks as to not listen or accept discipline. You know, so people without realizing it, this is what I noticed, saints. And so people without even realizing it, when the Word of God, the Bible, has little to no value in their lives, they don't realize, but they're stiffening their neck. Meaning to become deceived to what is right or wrong, leading to a life of confusion. Saints, you and I don't want to have any area of our lives where there's confusion. We see it's the Spirit of God's love and peace that reveals it to us. It's saying this, saying, Lord, I love this word. Lord, I want this to become life. I want you to show me your ways and teach me your paths. So the spirit of Babylon, that world spirit, starts like this. Man's definition of unity, make a name for themselves. Man's definition of wisdom, we're capable of doing this ourselves. We don't need God anymore. We just got to get rid of global warming. I'm just saying these things. We just got to focus on other idolatrous things. That is just the wisdom of man. Man's definition of love is just, let's stick together. We can work together. We can be a charitable organization together. We can show the world, what they're not even realizing, we can show God that we can do good things. Stick together. So here's what repentance is for us saints. It's changing our mind in every area. And it's loving his word. Let me, as the worship team comes up, I want to read something that God has just shown me what this means today. Do you love his word?
Yes.
Do you love his spirit that lives in you? Amen.
Yes.
So Psalms 119, I'm going to start on verse 9. You may not have this or you may, but think it says, how can a young man keep his ways pure? By keeping it according to your word. For the young people, it's the word of God. It's the word of God. That his spirit makes it life. It's not a rules and regulations that you say, if I could just follow this. No, he makes it alive to you, where it's like honey on your lips. King David says, it's like, man, I love your word, Lord. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping according to your word. With all my heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. What that would be today, don't let me wander from your truths, Lord. Don't let me wander from your truths. I have treasured your word in my heart, amen, so that I may not sin against you. What's that mean? Knowing the difference between right and wrong. It's okay to pursue righteousness, to pursue the truth. To pursue what pleases the Lord's heart as he walks with you. How he loves you and I, saints. Verse 11 says, I have treasured your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, Lord. Teach me your statutes. I mean, just Lord, just reveal your word to me. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced, verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. I love reading all the testimonies of the Word of God. I love hearing the Old Testament, what they did, what God did for his people, for Moses, for Elijah, what he did for Paul, what he did for the Apostle John. I love hearing the testimonies. And it said that it was written for us, that we could walk in that same testimony, that you and I could have those same testimonies of telling others, man, let me show you what God has done for me. Hallelujah. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as all riches. Amen. It says, I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Amen. It says, deal generously with your servant. Aren't you glad he deals generously with you? That I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. Well, it's like what I was just saying about covet, what God showed me about coveting, revealing those things to me. It's not a letter, it's the spirit behind it saying, man, I want to take care of you. You're not missing out on anything. You're in the palm of my hand. Trust me. Allowing the Spirit of God, his love, to comfort you, to bring peace. See, the Word of God is designed to bring peace and comfort and instruction and strength. Amen. I'm going to read a couple more. Verse 19. I'm a stranger on the earth. Did you know you're a stranger on the earth? Some of you, I didn't say strange.
Some of us are.
If that applies, I'm not saying anything. And I'm not going to look anybody in the eyes. I'm a stranger on the earth. Do not hide your commands from me. Just to say, don't hide your truths from me. Don't hide your truths from me, Lord. He doesn't hide truths, right? This person is just saying, Lord, they're giving their desire to have a revelation of God. My soul is crushed with longing for your ordinances at all time. You rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who wander from your truths. Man, that is a true statement for today, saints. You rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who wander from your commandments. Those are the people who say there's no right or wrong anymore. There's no lie. Whatever it is, whatever's right or wrong in your own mind. It says, take disgrace and contempt from me, for I comply with your testimonies. Aren't you thankful that the blood of Jesus, if you can stand up with me, removes all disgrace and contempt? Saints, aren't you glad that the Word of God is true? Aren't you glad that he takes the Word of God and he reveals his heart to you? Where he takes these things like, do not covet. That's the letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. And what the Holy Spirit says, let me show with you what that means to you, for me and you. I'm going to take care of you. I love you. I'm going to reveal my heart to you. Can we just take a minute and say, Lord, thank you for revealing your heart to me. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the Word of God. Amen. Lord, thank you that there in today's society, there's right and wrong. That's okay. Amen. If there's no right or wrong, how do people even repent then? Repent of what? There's no right or wrong.
Come on.
Repent of their sins. Amen. Receive the Holy Spirit. Stand up for the truth and declare his holiness. So how's the church going to go forward in America? I can tell you one thing. It's going to be for standing for the truth. See, God's blessing is on truth.
Amen.
God's blessing is on righteousness. God's blessing is upon right thinking. And his mercy for those who, all of us in areas where we don't have right thinking, he said, let me show you. Let me show you, son. Let me show you, daughter. Let me continue to reveal myself to you. That's walking in the Spirit to me. That's walking in the Spirit to me. That's walking in his Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you that when there's conviction, what is he doing? He says, change your mind and think like me. That's all it means. Change your mind. Repent, turn around, and think like me. Father, we thank you that your body in this country is going to be going forth in truth. We're going to know our God like no other generation before. I believe that with all my heart. We're going to know our God like no other generation before us. And it has to be that. Because where sin abounds, it says grace abounds all the more. And I tell you, we need a lot of grace to abound in this nation right now. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness upon our families and our homes, our communities, and our nation. We thank you for that, Lord. We bless you. Lord, we thank you that we belong to you. If you don't belong to him, would you come up and talk to me after this? I'd love to lead you into a relationship with Jesus Christ, who loves you, who gave his life for you. I love that his mercies are new every morning. When I struggle, every morning I say, thank you, Jesus, I belong to you. Thank you for washing my sins away. Thank you, Lord, you've forgiven me, and I can move forward. But it will always start with repentance. It has to. If there's no right or wrong, what are we repenting of? So, Lord, we thank you for repentance, flooding our hearts day after day after day, not in condemnation, but in revelation. I said not in condemnation,
right,
but in revelation. We thank you for that this morning. We bless you and we honor you. You love him today? Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we exalt you. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We love you, Lord. Amen. You love him today? Amen. Can we just sing this song together and be dismissed? Amen. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Hallelujah.